5 years ago, I was paying $65 a month for my subscriptions. Today, those same subscriptions cost $111, and I don't even use half of them anymore. That's why now I use Rocket Money to manage my subscriptions for me. The app gives you a list of all of your subscriptions and reminds you of upcoming payments, so you're not hit with any surprise charges. On top of that, it also sends you alerts when subscription prices go up, so you always know the price you're paying. If you decide you no longer want a subscription, you can cancel it right from the app. No customer service needed. And the best part is, Rocket Money even reaches out and tries to get you refunded for some of the money you lost. On average, people that cancel their subscriptions with Rocket Money save $378 a year. And overall, Rocket Money has saved its members $880 million in canceled subscriptions. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I, we get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. Hey, it's going to be your church and your turn up. So listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're going to cause trouble.
Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline.
We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything.
And we're back. Farrell on the bench, Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty all week. He is on vacation. 844-843-6879. The number to get involved. Hour number two, we get going here. We'll talk some NBA this hour, some more college football, look at a couple of other lines. I actually want to ask Mafia something, too, about some MMA thing that I saw before. Get his thoughts on that. Maction is closing down for the night, sadly, with a whimper. All the other games, extremely exciting. The first game, Mafia, did you see this? Right at 6 o'clock Eastern, the Akron-Western Michigan game, Maction started with an attempted onside kick to start the game by Akron. And things
got
absolutely... Yes, they tried an onside kick to start the game. And then they proceeded to get absolutely whacked by Western Michigan, like 59 to 14 or something like that. I don't have the score in front of me, but the Maction was definitely flying tonight. Some really fun games, except for the one that is going on right now where you have Bowling Green looking absolutely awful as Toledo's about to close them out 28-3. 11 and a half minutes left to go. Kent State beat Eastern Michigan 27-23. Western Michigan and Akron, the game I just referenced, 58-13, the final there. Buffalo rolls in the second half over Northern Illinois, 49-30. Central Michigan, 30-27 over Ohio. Pretty good game there. And the other good game, Miami of Ohio, defending champs of the MAC, 38-31 over Ball State. So this is a good night. You get a look at all these MAC teams. Next week, three games on Tuesday, three games on Wednesday for the night session. It will be a lot of fun. So when we come back, we'll really get rolling. We've got some NBA to do, some interesting stuff with Devin Booker, Gordon Hayward. I cannot believe how much money Daryl Morey is making to run the Philadelphia 76ers. Carver High and Mafia here for Scotty Farrell on the bench on a Wednesday night. Hour two rolls on right after this.
Have you written a book and need some insight into what comes next?
Or are you passionate about cooking and want to know how to make it your career?
Or maybe you just want to hear insider stories about the entertainment industry. Either way, we've got you covered with the Two Guys from Hollywood podcast. I'm Alan Nevins, a literary agent and talent manager.
And I'm Joey Santos, a columnist and celebrity chef. And on our podcast, Two Guys from Hollywood, we bring our expertise to the table with, of course, delicious cocktails and all kinds of recipes for you to try at home.
So grab a drink and join us. We've got a wide range of celebrity guests and Hollywood insiders to discuss pop culture, publishing, and entertainment. And we'll provide you with an unfiltered and sometimes brutally honest show about Hollywood.
As we like to say, we don't dish, we serve.
Listen and follow Two Guys from Hollywood on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to podcasts. We'll talk at you soon.
And we're back. Pharrell on the bench. Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty all week. 844-843-6879. Toledo finds the end zone. So one touchdown down, three to go in the fourth quarter as we try to bag the fifth leg of this teaser and get an improbable maction over in the fourth quarter. 35-3. Toledo leads Bowling Green right now with about 11 minutes to go in the fourth. Little NBA now, Mafia, because I saw this Daryl Morey thing today. Now, we obviously know leaves the Rockets, going to the 76ers, going to be their new president. Called it a can't-miss opportunity. Five-year deal. Here's the funny part of the deal, Ma. What exactly did Daryl Morey do in Houston to command over $10 million per season, which is what he reportedly is going to be making? I mean, you have got to be kidding me. Over $10 million a year for Daryl Morey? What kind of hardware is he bringing to Philadelphia? Where are all the championship rings that he won with the small ball in Houston? You got to be kidding me here with this one.
Yeah, that's very surprising. I mean, at least when Phil got, what, $17 million from, you know, Dolan a year for New York,
yeah.
Like the guy had titles, like not in the front office, but he had titles as a coach. Like Morey, like you said, Houston keeps underperforming where they have great regular seasons. They get to the playoffs and they just get exposed and trashed. And he was the one who put that together. And not only did he put it together, but then he stuck with it when he went from Chris Paul and Harden to Westbrook and Harden, and again it failed and they got exposed and they can't play defense, and you know they went even more small ball this year after they got rid of Capella, and it just blew up. So I don't get why this guy not only got hired so quickly in Philadelphia or why he would even want that gig in Philadelphia given how messed up their lineup is and how misconstrued that one is and how hard that's going to be to fix. But then the fact that he gets $10 million a year, like I know why he went there as far as a you know, money standpoint. Maybe I don't know why he went there as far as trying to, you know, actually do the job right, but seems like it's a money grab to me because you got a roster that's not going to win in the East because they're, you know, constructed with a million different pieces that don't fit together. The puzzle is never going to look clear, but we get $10 million a year. So, hey, go ahead, trek to the city of brotherly love and watch some bad basketball for the next 3-4 years and then get fired and end up with a cool 30, 40 million.
And they also announced that general manager Elton Brand's going to get a multi-year extension. So Josh Harris and the ownership of the 76ers are clearly going all in on Daryl Morey and Elton Brand to get this thing turned around. Now, you know immediately, Mafia, you know the process. You know immediately what, and I've already seen like the small rumblings, and this is, I'm sorry, this is never going to happen. I mean, Fertitta's already said down there, he ain't letting it, you know, he ain't letting Russ and Harden go away. But you know that with the Morey connection, immediately it's going to start. How is he going to get James Harden to Philadelphia? You know, that's going to be the drum that gets banged here a lot, because you're right. There's a lot of pieces on this 76er roster right now that do not fit together. We've seen it now for the past couple of years, but I don't see how they get James Harden out of Houston. That's for sure, Moff.
Not even how you get him there. How would he fit? Like, you're not going to put him with a bead because we already know he doesn't like playing with big men. He wants them to get the hell out of the way so that he can just drive
right
to the basket or
he'd
shoot.
Be scrapping everything.
You're not going to put him with Simmons because they're not going to share the ball at all. Like, it's ridiculous. You can't do that with any of your best players, so you'd have to trade both of them to get him probably. It's just insane because, again, like you said with Morey, what has James Harden won? Why would you be all about James Harden, try to get him? He's won an MVP, but he hasn't won a title, hasn't won a Western Conference. I mean, this isn't Kawhi, this isn't LeBron, this isn't even KD. This isn't a proven guy, you know, in the playoffs that you can get on his back and say, take me to the promised land. This is a guy who can take you to the playoffs and then underperform.
Yeah, that's the thing. He never wins anything. You talk about a guy who never wins. Harden never gets it done in a big spot. Just now you add Russ to the mix over there. They're going to go another round with those guys and see what happens.
The only thing he can win is a No Shave November contest.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. That's all that he's good for. A couple other things, NBA-wise. Let's do Devin Booker first. I saw there was somebody's podcast. Devin Booker wants out of Phoenix. Let me just tell you, I don't buy that at all, Mafia, that he wants out of Phoenix. Did anybody watch those games in the bubble before the playoffs started where Phoenix went undefeated and Devin Booker was having huge nights every night? They're building. They've got DeAndre Ayton now. Like, whoa, why would he want to leave Phoenix now? Like, it just doesn't make any sense at all. Now, before the bubble, you had heard stuff like that before they came back to that return to play. But they played so well and they just missed making the playoffs. Things seem on the up and up there. I don't buy, Mafia, for a second that Devin Booker wants out of Phoenix. You want Devin Booker? He wants to get paid. I understand that. But I'm pretty sure that they're going to be willing to give him the money that he's going to want.
No, it's not about getting paid. And not only will I buy that, I'll buy that at a premium price here because he definitely wants out of Phoenix. He talked a couple years ago about wanting to be on a winning team. And this is a guy who came from Kentucky. He's known winning probably most of his career. He goes to Phoenix and they can't get it done. And like you said, though, you know, in your statement was before the playoffs. They played great in the bubble before the playoffs because what does Phoenix never do? They never make the playoffs. That's why he wants out. The guy's sick of losing. He puts on 30, 40, 50 performance, point performances every night, and the team still can't get in the playoffs. Sure, Ayton looked a little bit better now, but they still don't have enough pieces on this team to compete even for an A spot in the West, let alone compete for a title. So he's like, you know what? I'm sick of this. I've been, you know, carrying this franchise on my back. They've done nothing for me. They got me nobody. Sure, they drafted Ayton, but even then, like, this guy's not going to bring me to the promised land. I'm out. Let me go team up with someone.
Another guy who should be cut, this kid's 17 on Bowling Green. Make him walk home. Just make him walk home. You got this kid Ortega Jones on Bowling Green. Fourth down for them. The ball was basically right in his hands down by the goal line, and he misses the catch. So Bowling Green comes up empty. Unfortunately, it doesn't look like we're going to get any action here tonight. I don't know. I just feel like they're building something there finally. For the first time in a long time, there was a little bit of hope. Was it some fool's gold because maybe they were playing teams in the bubble that weren't playing for much? I mean, you want to maybe look at it from that angle. Maybe Booker knows that. Listen, this was, you know, it is what it is. We went 7-0, but or 8-0, whatever, how many games they played. But this really wasn't real basketball. These other teams that we were playing were already in the playoffs and they weren't trying. I don't know. I feel like there's finally a little bit of a base, a little bit of a nucleus out there in Phoenix for them to work with. The other one is Gordon Hayward, Moff. In the same podcast story, that he wants to opt out of Boston. But here's the problem for Gordon. He's going to make $34 million this year with the Celtics if he stays there. And I don't know about you, but I can't think of anybody who wants to give Gordon Hayward $34 million a season to play basketball with all the injuries that he's had and how his game has gotten. I just don't understand why he would leave. If it's just money, when it's about that much money, it can be about money. $34 million a year. He ain't getting that anywhere else.
No, hell no, he's not. You know, if it was a regular offseason, he might have a chance, but even then, I don't think he would. Like you said, the injury history the last couple of years is just piling up on him. He was incredible when he came to Boston, signed all that money, and it just hasn't lived up to the hype since. You know, when he came in there, he was going to be like the number one or two guy with Irving, and then they've gotten all these younger players that have surpassed him and are more talented, even when he's healthy and at his top of his game. So, you know, now he's fourth, fifth fiddle on the, you know, at least fourth fiddle on the team between, you know, Brown, Kemba, and Tatum. So maybe he wants to leave because he doesn't really matter as much on the team as he thought he would when he went to Boston to play for Stevens. But the problem is, like you said, he's hurt and there's 34 million reasons to stay. And you're not going to get that to go anywhere else because not only do you have this injury history where you can't stay on the court and contribute at the regular level that you were supposed to when you left Utah, but everyone lost money this year. All the owners are not going to be spending these big bucks on these players like they have in the past. You're not going to be dishing out $40 million a year deals. So, you know, the talk is he maybe wants to go and try to find a multi-year deal instead of just having this 1 year left on his contract. But
come on,
I don't even think anyone's going to do that for a lower price with him because of the injury history. It's just not worth the risk right now. You got to prove you can stay healthy.
He wants to go somewhere else. He wants to make some money. Go take your $34 million in Boston this year and actually play good, healthy basketball. And then somebody next year will give you a couple of dollars. 844-843-6879. Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty. Burrell on the Bench rolls on hour number two right after this.
Hey everyone, it's Michelle Williams, and I love being able to share my story with you on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, where my guests and I get real as we share the ups and downs of our mental health journeys, and I'd love for you to join me. I'm still on my own journey, but I want to be transparent with you because as I was posting all the highlights of my life on social media, I was breaking down. And too many people fall victim to the picture-perfect image of the high life, so I created a space to discuss the good and the bad. We can laugh, man. We gonna learn, and most of all, I hope to inspire you to go on this journey with me to better mental health. This is gonna be your church, your turn-up, and everything in between. So join me on my podcast, Checking In with Michelle Williams, a safe space for every kind of person. Listen to Checking In with Michelle Williams every Tuesday, a part of the Black Effect on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
And we're back. Pharrell on the bench, Carver High and Mafia in for Scotty all week long. 844-843-6879, the number to get involved. Winding down here in the Maction game, Toledo running the clock as Bowling Green, after that kid, 17, who should not be able to go back to school. They should leave him in Toledo, who dropped that touchdown pass, which would have gave the Bowling Green a little bit of life here for the plus 23.5. About five and just under 6 minutes left to go in that one. A little MMA here, Moff. What is this contender series, this thing that I keep seeing fly across the screen on ESPN? Like, I'm going to get to you in a second with the Saturday night, because I don't get to talk to you too much anymore about the MMA. And you know how I feel. Like, they just, I mean, it's every week with these fights. But first off, tell me, what is this contender series thing? Like, what is Dana White's involved with this? Is it a UFC thing?
Yeah, it's a UFC thing. You know, we talked probably a month and a half ago about how the impact of COVID has been on MMA and boxing, you know, especially on like the minor leagues, essentially, of, you know, these smaller promotions, these regional promotions. None of them could do it because the only way they make their money is on the gate. They don't have broadcast deals. They don't have, you know, big sponsorships. They make it on people showing up to watch these guys fight. So, you know, for the UFC and boxing, it's been tougher to find new blood. And the UFC, I think they had this started before. I think this kind of started with the ESPN deal. He's always had, you know, different things, different avenues where Dana White's gone out looking for fighters. They had like the whole looking for a fight show with him and Matt Serra. So he's always had, you know, ways of him going out and finding other fighters. And this is the newest one. And then, you know, something they probably put together with ESPN where, you know, for the plus, ESPN plus, for those of us who have it, where not every Tuesday, but it seems like just about every Tuesday, you have the contender series where they take these guys from smaller promotions who have, you know, whatever records, and put them up against each other, and guys and girls, different divisions, different weight classes, all this, you know, stuff to kind of almost give them like a tryout. You know, they haven't had the Ultimate Fighter series these last 2 years. Now they're going to bring that back, but they haven't had that. And that's where they used to bring in a lot of fighters each year, you know, a lot of the new blood. So now they have this. So they've had a bunch of them, you know, throughout the pandemic, especially once they got the Apex up and running and had some of these fighters and awarded them contracts. And we've seen them come back and fight in the UFC. So this is what he's been doing here. He's done it in Latin America. He's done it, you know, in a couple different spots to get new blood into the UFC there.
And now, is he actually like at these fights? Is he watching them, or is he, you know, basically just getting a report back after? I'm talking about Dana, because he needs new talent. He's got a fight card every single Saturday night. So Dana needs as many fighters as he can get. I mean, is he at home wearing, you know, the muscle shirt, drinking a vodka, or is he actually at the Apex watching these guys fight?
It depends on the week, depends on the situation. Sometimes he's, you know, traveling around doing business. Sometimes, you know, obviously, with them.
He's in Abu Dhabi.
Island. Yeah.
He's in Abu Dhabi. He can't make it, right?
Yeah, I don't know. I think they might not have had it the weeks that they were in Abu Dhabi. It hasn't been like every Tuesday. It's been kind of here or there, like little spurts. So I think it's when they're back in Vegas, he's been there for most of them. But I'm sure there's ones here or there that he, you know, misses and gets a report on. But I think tonight he was, you know, he offered four contracts to the four winners who all got finishes tonight. So he's got a couple new fighters in the mix now.
So we've got another card on Saturday, I'm gonna guess, right? There's now, is this a free one? Is this a, this, it can't be a pay-per-view, because I think last week or 2 weeks ago was the pay-per-view. They limit, yeah, that at least to once
this
a
one's
month,
a free,
right? This is a free one, a freebie.
Actually, let me Before I misspeak, let me say, because the last one was on last week was on ESPN Plus. So now let me check, because that's always the caveat here. Is it actually on ESPN or is it on ESPN Plus, which technically you have to pay for? Well, not technically, you do have to pay for. It is on ESPN Plus, so not completely free.
So not a freebie. Not a freebie, because you got to pay whatever it is, six bucks a month yeah. or $7 a month, whatever they get you for ESPN Plus.
Right. Or a pay-per-view for 70, but, you know, something. So you got to pay for it. Right, Santos versus Sierra. Right. It's a big fight in the light heavyweight division. This is one that we were supposed to get about 2 months ago now. And these guys are two of the higher ranked guys, and they're supposed to fight. And then we had, you know, I think it was Teixeira first tested positive with COVID, so they pushed it back a couple weeks. And Santos had COVID test, so they pushed it back a couple weeks again. And now they're headlining this week's card at the Apex in Vegas.
A lot of fights on this card. I guess there's prelims too. That's because I'm looking at FanDuel, where they have all the fights. 11 fights. I guess that includes the prelims and everything, right?
That does. Yeah, every card you have for the UFC usually has like 11 or 12 fights, you know, including the prelims, even the Facebook prelims. This one's got, five of them on the main card. Andrei Arlovsky's fighting again, even though he should probably be retired. Claudia Gadella's fighting as the last one. It's not the greatest card, but the top fight should be an interesting one and fun to watch. And it's late again.
They had the
2 o'clock pay-per-view. They had the 7 o'clock start last week, even though they're the Apex. This was back to 10 Eastern.
Man, are they ever going to – I mean, look, if they've got enough fighters and they have enough interest, who am I to say don't have a fight every Saturday night? But, man, don't you eventually water down the product a little bit if every Saturday you've got these cards? I know it's once a month, the big ones with the pay-per-view, but – every week now, there is another UFC card. They eventually have, I mean, the talent at the lower end now, like these guys that are fighting in the prelims for this card on Saturday. I mean, these guys got to be stiffs. I mean, Gustavo Lopez, Max Griffin, Darren Elkins, these guys can't be good, Moff. These guys on the lower end of these cards now every single week.
No, I mean, even some of them on the pay-per-view, you look at it, you say, who's that? I mean, I used to watch every fight on every card when they'd have them, you know, once a month. Now, when they have 3-4 a month, I watch the main card and sometimes not even every fight on that. If there's a prelim, you know, fight on the free ones, maybe I'll check it out. Like Darren Elkins is a guy who's been around. He's a guy who's a name, but has been on hard times and now kind of on the downside of his career at this point. So they put him down in the prelims and try to suck you with the name. They always have those guys, you know, especially the ones that last fight in the prelims, they usually put someone with somewhat of a name to try to get you sucked in. But yeah, it's just the more you have, the more you said, like you say, you get diluted. That's why you got to have all these people from the contender series. We get 4 contracts in one night. They've had a bunch of nights like that. And it's just not as fun. You know, that's just the way it is. But that's what happens when you sign a billion-dollar broadcast deal with ESPN, and then you get into a pandemic and no one else is doing anything. They just say, hey, give us more, and the UFC is going to oblige.
Now, you don't have to give the official pick now. I know that on Coast to Coast on Friday, you will give that at the start of the second hour. But do I got a little juice here with Glover Teixeira at +205 right now on FanDuel? Because I'm betting the dog in these big fights. I always bet the dog. So do I got a shot with Glover Teixeira here with +205?
You got a shot. He's a live dog. Of course, he's the one that we just saw go against Anthony Smith a couple months ago, where Smith was beating him up pretty good in the first 3 rounds. And then he had Smith spit in his teeth by we got into the late rounds and they stopped the fight, you know, when we were all getting on the corner for not stepping in and stopping it.
Oh, that's so right. I remember that.
Yeah, he's always live. He's a tough guy. He's been up at the top of the division in the previous years. A little older now, so it's tougher. I think Santos is the guy I'm leaning towards because he is the guy who is at the upper echelon of his career right now, one of the top guys. He's a dangerous guy, very violent. He fought John Jones, not the last one. You know, Reyes was the last one where people thought he lost. The one before that, Santos for the title, and it was another close fight where John Jones might have lost in a lot of people's minds. So, you know, he's a legit dude. He's tough, and it's going to be a great brawl. These two are going to throw down. This isn't going to be play for the points, you know, dance off here. This is going to be two guys stepping into the middle of the octagon, both putting their feet there and saying, let's go.
And when's Jones fighting again? Is Jones ever going to fight? Is Jones lined up to fight anybody?
No, he is not.
He has no schedule to fight. Like, or is he another one of these guys who said he's retired? And he, you know, like Connor, you know, I retire every 6 months. Like, there's no fight set right now for this guy to actually get in there.
There's no fight set because, remember, he still had the title. He defended it earlier this year against Reyes and then, you know, had the whole thing where he decided he should have lost and had the arrest and all that stuff and COVID. And then in the middle of COVID said, you know what? I'm going to abdicate the throne. He gave up the title and moved up to heavyweight and doesn't have an opponent. You know, he was talking about Ngannou and talking trash with him and that never materialized. Now Ngannou is going to fight for the title. So he's talking about moving up to heavyweight and he's had trash talk with Adesanya. And now Adesanya's moving up to 205 and not fighting him. So we have no idea what's going on with John Jones besides him chasing away burglars with a shotgun.
What's the next big fight that's actually scheduled? The one, like, for somebody like me who clearly cannot watch every week, I don't have the attention span to do UFC every single Saturday, but you know that I like the really big fights. Like, they roped me in a couple months ago with that guy that took the fight in less than a week. What was his name?
Masvidal.
Masvidal. They roped me in with that fight because I was pumped for that guy taking the fight on a week's notice. When's the next, like, must-watch fight? Is it going to be Connor in January? Is that really the next time that I'm going to get juiced up?
No, they got a pay-per-view in the middle of December. December 12th is the next pay-per-view, and that's where you're going to have Amanda Nunes fighting again against Megan Anderson. You're going to have Peter Yan fighting against Aljamain Sterling. I mean, we saw Yan be a badass against Aldo to win that title, so he's going to defend the bantamweight title there. There's some decent fights on that card.
And who's the guy that Masvidal fought? I said I would never watch him fight again. Who did Masvidal fight on short?
Usman. Tomorrow
I'll forget him. I'm not watching. I'll never watch one of his fights again. Watch that guy kick you in. Watch that guy kick you in the shins for 40 minutes. I cannot do that. And Nunez just destroys everybody. I can't get in the mix with Nunez. Megan Anderson, she doesn't have a chance to beat Amanda Nunez, does she?
No, she doesn't. They hyped her up. They thought she was going to be a big, one in that division in the UFC. Brought her in, kind of be the counterpart to Nunez and maybe steal the title. She was like a big kickboxer coming out of Australia and then came into the UFC out of Invicta and just has been, she got smoked her first fight. She's been okay after that. It's just another situation with a lot of these women's divisions where it's like, well, she's beat everybody else that's closer and better. So let's just throw this one at her and see if she's got a shot.
All right. Well, we'll see. I'm sure she's got no shot for that one coming up in a couple of weeks here. Pharrell on the bench, Carver High and Mafia. We are in for Scotty all week. He's on vacation. 844-843-6879. Do a little college football when we come back. My Fighting Irish Mafia, I'm telling you, Clemson's got more guys out of this game than you can. I mean, it's just left and right, more guys going out. They better show up on Saturday. We'll talk about that in more college football. Pharrell on the bench. Rolls on right after this. And we're back. Pharrell on the bench, Carver High and Mafia with you in for Scotty all week long. He is on vacation. 844-843-6879. Finally, comes to an end for Bowling Green as they mercifully are finished 38-3. Toledo wins that. So the first night of action is in the books. Some college football here, Mafia. I have to start with Notre Dame because more news today. Clemson's going to be down two more starters on D. Defensive tackle Tyler Davis, really good player. Linebacker Mike Jones. So basically now, Moff, you have got three really key starters on defense out for Clemson. And on top of that, Trevor Lawrence, who's the best player in college football, going to be the number one pick in the draft. As of right now, Clemson -5.5 point favorites going into South Bend on Saturday night. And Mav, I don't want to hear it anymore from Brian Kelly. This is it right now. You never win these games. You never win big games. You made the college football playoff. You lost to Clemson. They beat you around on Alabama in the national title game a couple years before that. People always talk bad about it. Notre Dame never deserves this. Notre Dame never deserves that. They get unfair advantages. They're not in a conference. If they don't beat Clemson, Mafia, Saturday night, no Trevor Lawrence, three key starters missing on defense. He wins 10 games every year. Give him credit, whatever it is. Every once in a while, he's got a bad year, but for the most part, he wins 10, 11 games every season. He needs to beat Clemson in South Bend on Saturday night. all these guys out of the game. There's no excuses for him. He needs to go out and get the job done. Bottom line, period, end of story, Moff. That's it.
He absolutely does, you know, and not just because of how much is going to affect him this year, but you talk about his history with it, 0-5 against top five teams, 16 points per game he's lost those ones by. He definitely needs to step up and show that, you know, they are an elite program. Obviously, we know they are great. They have the history and all that, but if they want to be in a, you know, a title game, this is the best shot they've had in years. It's harder as an independent, especially when, you know, you're kind of just like cherry picking which games you play like they do at times. When you have an actual ACC schedule, you know, if you can beat the best team in the country, despite, you know, the losses that they have, it doesn't matter. They're still number one as far as the, you know, committee and as far as the rankings and all that. You can't say, oh, well, they're ranked one, but it doesn't count. Like, no, they're ranked one. They're the best team in the country, yeah. No matter who's there or not. As long as you put them up top there, then that's what who they are. So this is definitely an opportunity they need to take advantage of. You know, you saw how much they kind of struggled against Boston College to get going last week, Clemson. Now you said it. They have, you know, big starters out on the defensive side, you know, not just one, but three of them. So this is the one where they really have to, you know, show up or shut up. And it's a big game for them. I'm surprised, you know, with all those injuries that they're still, you know, down as underdogs that big. But I think that works in their favor too, because this team this year, you know, there's been a couple times I've wanted to bet on them. They've been playing some crappy teams and they just don't show up as far as blowing those teams out like they should. You know, we saw that against Florida State. We've seen that a couple times. Now, when you get to play the underdog role, I think that's much better for them. I think that's more, you know, fuel for the fire, lets them get worked up for the game, lets them get hyped. You know, instead of playing some team that they're like, ah, we're going to win this game, we don't even have to play hard. They know they have to play hard. It doesn't matter who's in there or not. This still is Clemson, and they have to show up, and I think they could definitely cover. They should win, you know, against this backup. I don't know if they will, but I think they can at least cover in this game.
Yeah, the kid DJ Ukulele, well, that's not really how you say his name, but we've been calling him all different things, going to be playing for Clemson. It comes down to me, it is about the offense. Book needs to put points on the board. The Irish, you know, you talk about their offensive line, how great it is. They maul everybody. Well, now they're missing one of their best guys on their defensive line. So go ahead, make a presence, let Williams run the rock, let Ian Book do some things, and score points, because 2 years ago when they played this team in the semis and they lost 30-3, you know, to be fair, and you want to tell me I'm saying this with Irish eyes, you go ahead and do it. They were in the game for the first half. They couldn't move the football. Their defense played well in that game, except that, and then it got to the second half and they're like, you know, we're dragging you here. Are you guys going to do anything for us? And the offense never showed up. The Irish offense are the ones that need to show up in this game on Saturday night. They need to put points on the board. Bottom line, end of story. So if you're going to play the Irish, forget the dopey 5.5. The Irish need to win this game. You bet them on the money line. Plus 190. This is it. You go, go big or go home with the Irish on Saturday night. If they can't get this done, Brian Kelly's never going to get it done in South Bend, as far as I'm concerned, Mafia. I just can't have it. You can tell that I'm already probably emotionally invested in this game.
All
a little
fired
bit too
up.
Much. All fire. I just, I'm sick of it. I'm sick of it. All the talk that we never get any respect. We never get this. Everybody never gives any respect. Well, go take it Saturday night. Go and take it. That's one of the three best teams in the country. That's one of the three best teams for the last 5-6 years. They're in a class by themselves. They're missing so many guys. Go out and beat them. And when people say on Monday, who cares if on Monday people are going to say, well, they were missing this guy, this guy, this guy. You got the job done, you beat them. And if you beat them on Saturday, you'll get a chance to play them again when they do have all those guys in the ACC title game. And then you can really put your foot down. That's what it comes down to for me with Clemson and Notre Dame coming up on Saturday night. A few other games, Moff. Now, we do have two games tomorrow. Now, I did this to you last night. I threw you the Maction for tonight, and we did pretty good. Aside from that last game, it was a really good night for the college football in the Maction. So tomorrow, Mafia, we move from the Maction to the Mountain West. Now, lucky for you, I stayed up late Friday night and Saturday night last week watching these teams. So I already have my eye test on the most of the Mountain West teams already. Two games tomorrow, 7 o'clock Eastern, Utah State and Nevada. Nevada -17.5, total 56.5. And in the late game, 9 p.m. Eastern, which me and you will clearly have ourselves locked in on when we do the Thursday night for all on the bench, we've got Wyoming at Colorado State. The Cowboys, a -3.5 point road favorite and 52.5 the total. Mafia, I watched Nevada late Saturday night against UNLV, and they're good. They move the football. Their defense isn't great. It's pretty awful, actually, but they score and they move quick. So I think this is Utah State, not that good. Watch them against San Diego State. Their offense is pretty brutal. So the 56.5, you're going to be relying a lot on Nevada to do the heavy lifting to get to that total. But I think 17.5 with the Wolfpack tomorrow night, not a bad number. They covered the 14.5 against UNLV last week. Utah State has not looked good. Can I get you involved in the Wolfpack tomorrow night, Mafia, or would you rather get involved in the later game since that's the one we're going to be watching here on Pharrell on the Bench?
No, I'll get involved with the Wolfpack. I mean, I don't know why they're playing this game at, 4 o'clock Reno time again with this
TV. Setting up.
So it's like 4 o'clock on a Thursday. That's when you're sitting, a football game for Nevada. I guess it doesn't matter if there's no one in the stands.
Nobody there anyway.
That's so ridiculous. Utah State is terrible. Like you said, you're just looking at the numbers. Nevada played great against UNLV. They put up almost 500 yards of offense a game. Utah State is barely over 200. Utah State gives up 500 yards of offense a game. They only allow 350 for Nevada. So not great, but not terrible. I think that Nevada's going to light them up. Sitting at home, putting up 30 plus points a game when Utah State can't even score, it's going to be a bloodbath. Nevada's going to roll with this one easily.
In the second game, I love this Wyoming team. I do. Now, they're 1-1. First game, they played a wild game with Nevada. They got down like 18. They came back and tied it, ended up losing in overtime. Last week, they had Hawaii in their building. That was the Friday night game, I believe. Brutally cold in Laramie for that one, and they ended up pounding Hawaii. They gave them absolutely nothing. Colorado State was awful at Fresno State last week. A little worried, the home dog here in these Mountain West games usually could be a little tricky, but I like Wyoming tomorrow night, -3.5. Maybe Moff, the move is we do a little Nevada Wyoming teaser tomorrow night. That could be the play. 52.5 the total in that game. I got to look into a little more. Colorado State bothered me last week. They were awful offensively against Fresno. I don't know if I can depend on them. Wyoming is decent. They've put points on the board the last 2 weeks, but I don't think I can trust Colorado State, Moff.
Yeah, you're going to be, going down till the end of that game if you're going to try to hit the over on that 52, because it's pretty much not even actually right where they landed, but they landed, like, if you go by their average of points, it's at like 49. Jeez. Can't do math all of a sudden. But yeah, 32 points for them, 17 for Colorado State. Colorado State, like I said, they look bad against Fresno on the road. Yeah, they're at home. Maybe they'll be a little bit better, but I don't buy it. I think that 3.5 feels pretty good for Wyoming. He's putting up 30 points a game against Nevada and Hawaii. They're not the best teams in the world, but, even when they lose, like that Nevada game, they put up points. So they're going to score. I don't think Colorado State can keep up with them. I don't think either of these teams are great, but I think Wyoming's probably a little bit better on defense and will shut down Colorado State, who had trouble scoring last week against Fresno. Now, and you've got a situation where it's going to be probably a touchdown game, but that total might be a little issue. I'm not even going to bother teasing these games because I like both those teams as the favorites, and I don't want to lose the juice and lessen my odds by teasing it down.
Yeah, and look, Wyoming right now -3.5 at +102, and sometimes it just comes down to this. I won with Wyoming last week. They were very good to me. And Colorado State, I lost with last week. They were not good to me. So I'm going to go with the team that was good to me, and I'm going to stick with them, and I'm going to ride them. That's sometimes it's just as easy as that. You go with the team that has been good to you, and Wyoming has been that. We do have some Friday night games, which we'll dive into tomorrow night. I believe, Mafia, tomorrow night, as usual on Thursday night on Pharrell on the Bench, Sports Grid, college football, of course, analyst, does a great job, College Football Today. The great Joe Lisi will probably hang with us for a couple segments tomorrow night, Mafia, and we'll really dive into the college football slate for Friday and Saturday with Joe.
Oh, yeah, we'll go deep with Joe. Joe knows everything about all these teams. He's great. He's entertaining. You always love Joe coming on the show. So, we got to find all the action that we can for Saturday. We got to make it interesting. We can't be sitting around just listening to the wife, complain about what we're not doing. We got to watch some football. We got to be the workaholics we are and get into the college slate here. We need Joe's help.
And I don't know if this is probably a good thing for you, because normally, you'd be doing the radio show with Scotty on a Friday night. The U is playing on Friday night. So the U has a Friday night game. So Scotty won't be on for the U, which you're going to miss, because if they would like be losing that game to North Carolina State, you know that on Friday night, Scotty would be melting down at the end of a week if he had to do the show while watching the U have trouble with North Carolina State. Yeah. The U is actually 10.5-point favorites, road favorites in Raleigh. That could be a tough spot for the U on Friday night, Mafia. That could be a tough spot for Miami.
That definitely kind of considering they've been up and down this year. And, you know, it's always entertaining when his teams are losing and he's melting down in the air. But it's also harder to deal with him when his teams are losing and he's melting down on the air. So it's great for the fans. Not always fun for us. So glad he has off on Friday.
Also on Friday night, you've got another Mountain West game, San Jose State and San Diego State. I was really impressed with San Diego State last week against Utah State. And then the big game of 9:45 p.m. Eastern. So we'll be on this one, Moff. BYU and Boise State. This is all the cards for BYU. The best game on their schedule, their best chance to impress all of the voters, all of the college football playoff people in a few weeks. BYU needs to win this game, and they need to win it convincingly on the blue turf against Boise on Friday night. Pharrell on the bench, Carver High, and Mafia, 844-843-6879. We'll come back. Morenci Sports Rage coming up next. We will wrap up the show with Gabe. Pharrell on the Bench rolls on right after this. And we're back. Pharrell on the bench, Carver High, and Mafia in for Scotty all week. He's on vacation. 844-843-6879. The number. Sports Rage, late night. Morenci up next. What is up, Gabe? Opening night of Maction. We did pretty good. We did okay. A couple of overs. We had Buffalo. How did you do with the first night of the Maction, Gabe?
We did pretty well. You know what? We had some. We had teasers. We had overs. We had money line parlays. When it was all said and done, we were 7-3 with the MAC football games. It's a volatile conference, though, and it's really really hit or miss. One thing that I'm not proud of, and it'll go down, I guess, is probably the worst bet ever. I took Akron.
Boy.
And you know what? I even knew, though. I knew. I even said on the show. I was like, listen, they lost all 12 games last year. They were 1-11 against the spread. They score 11 points a game only. But let's take them. I figured we'd go contrarian. But, you know, Central Michigan was a nice pick. Northern Illinois really hung around with Buffalo, but the Bulls pulled away. And this Buffalo Bull team's a damn good team. You know, I'm surprised Leopold, the coach, has stayed there as long as he has. He's going to eventually get taken out of there.
Yeah, you went with Akron. I went with Bowling Green. So that was my one bad one, as they got absolutely whacked by Toledo. MLS, did you do okay quickly? MLS, was that a positive night?
Well, we started off, and man, I've been killing the Champs League, and Cam's been killing soccer. It's Champs ironic because great. We're throwing darts, but yeah, we've been killing it. Well, I think that the hype of Cam's picks have been. I think my coming up with Cam's corner kicks, like put it over the top. It's like, so basically, like, it's all the marketing, Carver, right? It's all about
that's
the marketing.
What it's all about. That's what it's all about, Gabe.
Orlando won earlier, but we need
good
some late
job.
Night
I saw
wins
that. There you go. Big Orlando win, Gabe. Have a great show. Sports Rage late night coming up next. Carver High Mafia. We'll be back with you tomorrow night. Pharrell on the bench, baby. Have a good night.
Build digital-first customer relationships with Salesforce Digital 360. Connect every marketing, commerce, and digital experience on a single platform. Innovate fast with easy-to-launch sites, campaigns, and apps. That's more relationships, more revenue, more return, and more success. Salesforce Digital 360. Hear from our customers at sfdc.co/digital360.